10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to Tunes Game Time, right here on the Trending Topics Network. My name is Brian, and on this week's show, a follow-up to last week's show, which was all about E3 and the upcoming E3 conference in Los Angeles, California. Last week we did the Microsoft edition. This week we focus on Sony. And right off the bat, an apology. Yes, I'm going to apologize. Due to some situations involving my daughter and her softball schedule, I had to change up the scheduling of the recording of this show, and as a result, lost two of my planned guests, the guest host for the show. So if you are tuning in solely to hear the beautiful voice of the UK guy, Mart, who you can find on Twitter at OnlyOneMart, you will be sorely disappointed. If you were tuning into the show because you value the opinion of Cats from Paul, who you can find on Twitter at evil_Shiro, you will be vastly disappointed. And for that, I apologize. I actually wanted them for their video game opinions and the conversation that they have, because while their voices are both sexy, their opinions on gaming and the gaming world are much sexier. I love them for their brains. That said, I actually was able to get on the line with Ryan Hamner. If you follow him on Twitter, you'll find that he has one, sexy hair, and two, a sexy gaming acumen. So it made for a great conversation as we discussed various things with Sony's upcoming E3 conference. Not only just talking about the games specifically that we could see, or that we did see over the past year, but also some of the new possibilities of peripherals, what that means for the gaming world. We talked about the conversion of video games into movies a little bit. We talked about various things like whether or not remasters are getting too much attention, and what that means for gaming companies, whether that's a good or a bad thing. We touched on a number of different things. We also geeked out a little bit over Star Wars. So if you want to talk about Star Wars, I have a feeling that Ryan is my new Twitter soulmate in the Star Wars front. He seems to love them every bit as much as I do. We will see in the future. I know that he's looking forward to some of the Star Wars stuff, judging by the conversation that we had. That said, if you would like to be a part of the show, as Ryan was, as PK and Tucker were last week with the Microsoft show, as Paul and Ryan Noble and Mart and any number of folks are, including Devil Vamp of the Trending Topics Network, who you can find on Twitter at Devil Vamp, has also expressed interest on coming on the show, and I am looking forward to having him on. He's a very knowledgeable guy, too. Love his show, that you can find on not only TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, but DSJMP.com. And I always get those letters wrong, so I probably got them wrong that time, too. He talks wrestling, he talks comic books, pop culture, news, he talks everything. So be sure to check that show out, Cerebral Satire, right here on the Trending Topics Network. Be sure. I'm going to give you the way to actually get on the show, because it's really easy. First off, you can reach out to Twitter, to my Twitter account, which is at TunesBrian. That's my personal account. That's where you can find me. Also, you can do the show's Twitter, which is at TuneShow. You can email us, TuneShow@gmail.com. You can jump on Skype, because you know you already have Skype, and leave us up to, I believe, a 3-minute voicemail on Skype, which the ID for the show is... You're going to find this hard to believe. It's Toon Show. And if you get completely lost and don't know exactly how to do any of that, just punch in your browser, toonshow.com, and it will take you right to us, and you will find the links to all the possible ways to get a hold of either myself or Jack from Tunes Show with Jack and Brian. Tunes with Jack and Brian, rather. Which is separate from Tunes Game Time, but if you have something else you'd like to discuss outside of video games, by all means do that, because we love talking. You're not going to believe it how much we love talking. But that being said, the show that we brought for you this afternoon is all about Sony. It was a great conversation that Ryan and I had, and I bring that to you right now. It's the Tunes E3 Preview Sony Edition, right here on TuneShow.com and TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Joining me now on the line for this E3 Preview Sony Edition. You might know him from Twitter, if you're on Twitter and follow Penguin stuff and things like that. He's the host of his own podcast, Cats and Candy, am I correct?
That's kind of close, but we actually went with the Johnny Good Times Fun Factory. That name was come up by my co-host Andy, and we just kind of rolled with it.
Yeah, because I looked up Cats and Candy whenever you first started it, and I could not find it on iOS, and I just kept looking for it because I wanted to subscribe.
I felt like we couldn't go with that because Andy doesn't like cats, and the candy he does like is really, really bad. I mean, the guy eats circus peanuts.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a conflict of interest there.
Yeah, it kind of is. But either way, he is Ryan Hamner from the and Johnny podcast.
Close enough.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing tonight?
Doing excellent, so far as I know. It's been an adventure this past week, which is kind of why we had to force the recording to tonight, Thursday night, given softball and apparently medical issues.
Yeah, you've had quite the interesting day from what I've read.
Yeah, it's been a crazy one. We might be joined by Evil Shiro himself a little bit later here, as he has soccer match for his daughter that he had to attend to. But if he does show up, then we'll just fold him into the mix here later. But we had to get the show underway because people deserve it, whether they're good or bad. So let's do this, huh?
Perfect. Let's roll.
All right. Excellent. Now, what we did on the last show, we actually took a look at Microsoft's E3, both the past and the future for E3 as it pertains to the Xbox and PC, incidentally. So this week, we're actually going to go over the PlayStation and Sony's presentation, as well as the past, the things that they did last year leading us to this point. And in the later half of the show, we'll take a look at the future for Sony, what we'd like to see, what's been announced, the various things that we could look forward to with Sony. So let's take a look at last year's E3 for Sony. Just going quickly over some of the things that you did, you saw Sony kind of sit back, because Microsoft, at the time of last year's E3, I had really kind of shot themselves in the foot with the 2013 E3 and the launch of the Xbox One. PlayStation 4 at that point was well in the lead in console sales, really just kind of destroying Microsoft and taking a lot of the pressure off of the company as it came to E3. Was that a good move or a bad move? Was it just simply a safe move?
Well, the Microsoft clearly opened up the door for them, and they could not have played that any better, in my opinion. You know, Microsoft kind of, looking back to 2013 and the disaster that was that Microsoft conference, Microsoft kind of billed the Xbox One as being more of a generic multimedia, not really focusing on the games. You know, there was entertainment and stuff like that. And then Sony just came out and say, we're making a machine for games. And I think that was the right way to sell it. I mean, all that add-on stuff is great, but I can watch Netflix on my other Blu-ray player. You know, give me games. Give me really good, high-quality games.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the benefits that Sony has that nobody seems to mention, they just say, oh, Sony's superior. But they kind of forget the fact that Microsoft goes out, and they go first. So anything that Sony does, they can look at the instant feedback. And you know going into a show like this, there's plans, there's contingencies, and there's contingencies for the contingency. And one of the things they saw immediately was, oh, wait a minute. In that first year with the PlayStation 4, they immediately saw, using things like Twitter, all the forms of social media, gamers were pissed about Microsoft's presentation. They were really making fun of Microsoft for taking that all-in-one entertainment system route, and it was really easy for them to just say, you know what? Watch this. And they only talked about games. E3 of last year, 2014 show, I think that basically all they had to do was just match what Microsoft did, and they would pretty much be declared the victor. Because, again, they went after Microsoft, which is something that always confuses me. Why do they schedule it that way? There's no alternating of the companies or anything. Sony always goes after Microsoft. And I think that's a massive disadvantage for Microsoft that gamers oftentimes just ignore.
I mean, you could pitch it that it's nice to be the first guy out of the gate. You can kind of catch everybody's excitement. The build-up for E3 has been going on for months and months. Everybody is just absolutely rabid, foaming at the mouth for, hey, what are you going to show me this year? So in that regards, that could be seen as an advantage for Microsoft, but I completely agree with you. It gives Sony a full day to adjust their plans, and, you know, Microsoft swings and misses, Sony hits them back with the counterpunch, and that's exactly what they've done the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's a total advantage for them, and I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing, but when the consoles are so similar, as we discussed last week, it's really hard to fight that if you're the guy going first and don't hit a legitimate home run. But one of the things that they did do last year, in the process of not really standing out too much, kind of keeping Microsoft at bay, was they concentrated a lot on the AAA titles and some of the exclusive titles that they did have, specifically Bloodborne, The Order 1886, Grim Fandango, each of those were announced last year. That is also kind of one of those smart moves. I mean, they're obviously going to have a lot of the AAA titles, like your Call of Duties and all that, are going to be on both systems. But they did kind of focus a bit on Bloodborne and The Order specifically. I remember a lot of the hype, and really those two, a darker tone than what Microsoft was trying to pitch with Sunset Overdrive, was that in itself kind of a good thing? I mean, obviously the exclusive titles mean a lot, but just the different feel that those games had over what Microsoft presented earlier in the conference.
Well, I think those three games that you mentioned were good choices because there's so much variety in those three games. With Bloodborne, you know, I'm not a big fan of the tried them, they're just not for me, but I understand why they are very, very popular. And people that are into those, you don't just like those games, you love those games if you play those. So you kind of got that niche market down, and then you get the nostalgia thing going on with Grim Fandango, so gamers that are kind of my age, who played that game way back in the day when it was on PC,
yeah,
can sit there and say, oh wow, you know, if you don't already have a PS4, hey, I want to play that again, look what they did with the graphics, I want to use that with the controller in my hands, I have to go buy a PlayStation 4. And then, of course, you've got The Order. Now, you've played it, haven't you?
I actually have not.
Okay, I have played it, so I'm not going to comment too much on that. But, I mean, at the time, that looked like it was just going to be the next big thing. So, I mean, those three titles were well played as far as, like, a little bit. It was something for everybody is what it was.
Absolutely, and I think that's the key. You got to mix it up. I mean, you can't just go out there and show Madden, Call of Duty, and then expect everybody to get excited about your system.
Exactly.
Because, quite frankly, they're getting old mm-hmm. hat, no matter what they do with them.
Yeah, well, I mean, for titles like that that come out every year, you know, I always kind of feel like those are aimed at, you know, like Walmart executives and Target executives that are there and like, oh, my God, look what they're doing with this. We have to order a bazillion copies of that. Not that they weren't going to do that already, But yes. I always kind of feel like, I mean, okay, we changed the grass textures in Madden this year. That's not, I'm not going to, that doesn't do anything for me.
I'm right with you there. And you're right, because as much as we like to claim the show is for gamers, it is for the buyers, the retail buyers.
Exactly.
And it's an industry show, and sometimes we forget about that.
Mm.
But they are also smart because it is a big marketing thing, because it has become so big, and they have to gear things towards the gamers themselves, because if the gamers are excited, then the retailers are immediately excited, whether they know anything about it or not.
You touched on it a little bit earlier when you mentioned Twitter and using marketing and stuff like that. I mean, everybody is so connected these days, and reactions to, whether it's positive or negative reactions to things, are instantaneous. You really have to be on the ball, and you really can't afford to screw these conferences up.
Yeah, you can't. And one of the things that was kind of funny, and they tried to act like it was going to be a huge deal, because Sony really changed gears, because they were concentrating on the games, and that's what everybody wants to see. They changed gears in the middle of it, one with a big project that will be coming out very shortly in Project Morpheus, which I think everybody is excited about to some degree, and also PlayStation TV. Now, I don't know what your reaction to PlayStation TV was, but my reaction when they announced PlayStation TV, PlayStation Camera, it was more along the lines of, hey, isn't that what Xbox One did last year?
Yeah, I still, it's been out for what, over a year now, and I still don't fully understand what PlayStation TV is. I see it in the discount aisle at Target. I see you can get it for like half off now. It really did nothing for me, and that was kind of my thing, like Microsoft is doing this for 2 years now.
Yeah. It just makes no sense, and some of the things that they did. Now, obviously, Project Morpheus, I think, is going to be a huge deal. And all the different VRs, whether it's the HoloLens from Microsoft, whether it's Morpheus, whether it's Oculus Rift, whether it's any number of different ones that are actually coming out. There's a bunch of different VR projects out there. The Vive, I believe it's called, from, who is it, Valve? I think Valve's making it.
Yep, that is a Valve deal.
So that's got the potential to be game-changing. Now, they didn't really reveal all that much about it. In the past year, a lot has happened on that VR front. But is that something that got you into the idea of it? Or last year, was it more of something like my reaction to it, which was more along the lines of, well, this is still a ways off?
With VR, it's always kind of tricky, because when you're kind of showcasing that at a conference, it's almost impossible to do that, because you can't really demo it without handing out a headset to every member of the audience so they can actually experience it. You know, you really need like some kind of a kiosk set up, and even if I'm watching at home, I still can't really truly experience it. So
yeah.
I really don't, it's hard to kind of wrap my head around what exactly Project Morpheus is going to, the experience is going to be. But I do think we're going to get like a legit name for it. We're going to get a price, we're going to get a release date, and which will probably be holiday, and we're going to get some kind of software, free software that's going to come in an update very similar to the Playroom that came on PS4 for the camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, for sure. I mean, that's one of those things. You're seeing more and more reviews. People are getting hands-on with these things. But at this point, I mean, it is. It's kind of a mystery. The only thing that I've seen is spring 2016 for Project Morpheus, I believe.
They have released a date for it then.
Yeah, they haven't. They've given the window, but the windows always change. They bump them up. If they're smart, we do see it in November, because that would be probably some of the biggest sales they've seen in a while.
And factoring to that, now that Uncharted got pushed back to 2016, Sony really doesn't have, do they have a single exclusive coming out this fall? The Uncharted Collection, of course, but, you know, that's a reissue, so.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only exclusive things that they've got coming. Street Fighter V, I think, is right around the corner. And some remasters, and that's pretty much it. I mean, I think I haven't actually mentioned it to anybody outside of my work, but I think Capcom is actually trying to bury themselves by focusing solely on remaster games. With all the properties that they have, I mean, you're getting all the Resident Evil remasters, and now they're talking about doing Mega Man 1 through 6, which will be awesome, but how long can you bank on remasters and still remain a viable option as a company, a developer?
You know, it's kind of sad with that news coupled with what's going on with Konami, because those were two huge names, like, back in the NES days, and there's so much nostalgia there. It's really sad to see them fall apart like this.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I don't know how much of it has to do with the new system, and how much it has to do with just the fact that businesses, like, the business model is kind of changing towards Kickstarters and things like that. Which I think is a disaster for large companies like Capcom. Mm-hmm. I mean, is their creative well just dry?
Yeah.
I hope not.
And with a Kickstarter, you know, I don't think this game used a Kickstarter to get launched, but it's kind of similar in that indie kind of feel. But with those smaller kind of independent deals, you get stuff like the Unfinished Swan and really like outside of the box stuff. While Capcom is sitting there just regurgitating the same, you know, here's Resident Evil 6, here's Resident Evil Veronica Chronicles. There's so many Resident Evil games here the last couple of years. I'm just like. I played the reissue of the first one, but I skipped. I got 5 minutes into six, and I'm just like, this isn't fun.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way, and I got about halfway into the first one, Resident Evil HD, and I was like, yeah, I've had enough.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to have different controls, I guess. I don't know what it would have been. Something. I love the original one, and I will likely buy the original one for my PS1, which I still have hooked up.
Mm.
But I just don't feel the need to play it on my PlayStation 4.
Yeah, I was super excited when I downloaded it, and I, kind of like you, I got quite a ways in, and I'm just like, you know, the magic just isn't there. There's so many other good games I could be playing and much other stuff. I'm just not going to waste any more time on this.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Well, let's look at some of the actual original games that were announced last year. As is the case with Microsoft, you get some that come out when they were supposed to. Some were delayed, some won't come out, period. But there were some big names. A lot of them were actually announced for Microsoft as well. So I'll just rifle through some of them. Obviously, Evolve, Batman, Arkham Knight, Destiny, The Witcher 3. No Man's Sky, a PlayStation 4 exclusive, which has yet to come out. But promises to be just huge. Do you think that game, when it is finally released, I haven't seen it, at least, do you think that'll live up to its promise? I mean, you're talking, like, literally, they said it would take, like, thousands of years to actually finish if you to visit every planet for, like, a second or something like that.
I mean, it's hard not to get excited about the replay value of something like that, assuming that it's good enough that I would want to visit all those planets. It's just so hard to say. I mean, there's so much hype on these games these days. I mean, look at another Sony exclusive, The Last Guardian. I mean, how many years in a row have we been hearing about that? And, mm-hmm. you know, it's so hard for this. But, yeah, I mean, it certainly has piqued my interest. There's no way I would play a game that long, but... You know,
yeah.
it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of those things where the thing that's intriguing about it is how big it's supposed to be. And I wonder at times, like one of my biggest fallbacks on Mass Effect, as much as I like the game, Mass Effect 1, you just kind of visit a planet, fly to another planet, visit a planet.
That got awful, Mako.
Yeah, it got
it was crazy. So bad. Oh, my God.
But, I mean, the storyline, if you follow the storyline, was great. It's just all the mundane that you had to go through to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other exclusives here, obviously the aforementioned Bloodborne, The Order 1886. Now, I sent you a copy of all the games. So if there's any in there that you see that you wanted to discuss, by all means, jump in. They've got Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Very excited about that one.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I think that looks really, really cool.
And that's it. Like, the new generation of games, they have the potential. And I think that the one of the things that they've shown is a willingness to not only, like, push the limits of the system, but also to come out with games like Shovel Knight that feel very 8 or 16-bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Oh, the nostalgia is just great.
Yeah. We also saw Little Big Planet 3, which is just another Little Big Planet. Skylanders Strap Team.
Yeah.
Deep Down, Uncharted 4, A Thief's End, and Let It Die were the exclusives. Now, are any of those games, I mean, whenever you look at the year that was video games for the PlayStation 4, whether it's an exclusive title or otherwise, was this a successful year for releases?
It just feels like not much came out. It just, I don't know. I mean, I was kind of racking my brain this afternoon trying to think of the best PS4 game I've played so far, and I keep going back to Assassin's Creed Black Flag, and that's mm-hmm. really not good. I mean, The Order 1886 was a huge letdown for me. Infamous Second Son didn't impress me. I thought the DLC was better than the core game. You know, it's just kind of where I'm at. I'm still waiting for that one killer app to really, like, just grab me around the throat and say, you know, play me as often as I can. I think we're going to get that soon. We just haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah, and as I said last week, we're kind of entering this sweet spot for the systems. As the developers are getting more and more comfortable with the capabilities of each system, they're going to start pushing the envelope, which will be great. And I'm just looking through some of these things. I mean, obviously, Metal Gear Solid.
Very excited.
The Phantom Pain, it's going to be coming out, and I'm really looking forward to that. Even like a game like Xenoblade Chronicles, whenever it comes out, that'll be kind of fun. A little bit of a throwback game there.
Mm-hmm.
The original one, I think, came out on the PlayStation 1, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds right.
Mirror's Edge 2. Apparently they're remaking Mirror's Edge, but adding a little bit to it, because they're saying that it's not a pure sequel. That was actually a pretty cutting-edge game whenever it came out. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there. But the thing is, these developers, they've got the systems, they've got the hardware, they're getting more comfortable with it. So I think you're exactly right in that we're going to see some quality games come out very shortly that should really sell us on the systems, because I'm kind of like you. I feel a little bit underwhelmed by the next generation of games so far. I like, as much as I love playing Mortal Kombat X, because I'm a Mortal Kombat guy, I don't see anything that they've really shown me that they wouldn't have been able to pull off on a 360 or on a PS3.
Now, like I said, I think that's going to change here soon, and I think that's going to change here just in about 10 days, because Batman Arkham Knight is going to be released, and I think that, you know, unless that completely falls apart and they completely fell on their face, which I don't see any way Rocksteady does that, that's just going to be awesome.
Yeah, and the good thing is we haven't seen any news of a 2.3 gig first day patch or anything
the worst,
like that.
The absolute worst.
Yeah.
You know, and so,
it's ridiculous.
So we got that coming up, and I don't know what else is coming this summer, but Metal Gear Solid, Phantom Pain, September 1st, that's right around the corner. I know it seems like forever, but so pumped for that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know my son is really up for Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have a feeling he's going to be disappointed, because some of the news that we're seeing, they're going to have limited maps, things like that.
Yeah.
But all those games were basically announced last year. I think it was it was a decent year. I think Sony did what they needed to do to continue selling systems. But you wonder how much of that has to do with the fact that more and more games are going to be only released for the PlayStation 4 and kind of a moving away from the last generation of games, machines. What do you see? I know I have this question actually set up for the second half, but what do you see? Are we going to see, like, basically the last presence of the PS3 in this E3 conference?
I really do. I think it's going to be like when it feels like when the PS2 started getting phased out in, I don't know, around 2008, 2009. It just kind of has that same, you know, fewer and fewer games are being released. It's not being brought up. Websites stop having a PS3 tab at the top. You know, it's been a great system. It's the PS3 is the system that got me back into gaming after a 10-12 year hiatus, so I will always have fond memories of it for that. And there were some awesome games released on that system. But she's old and, you know, she's got to go to sleep at some point, and it's going to happen soon.
Yeah, and one of the things, like, I was so jealous of people to an extent who had the PlayStation 3 because I had basically the Xbox original and the Xbox 360. So this is my first PlayStation since the PS1. And I was so jealous because I saw some of the games that they had exclusively for the PlayStation 2 and the PlayStation 3 and The Last of Us.
Oh.
I love that game.
Yeah,
it's
just
fun.
Amazing.
Yeah. And games like Infamous, which I'm still mad that I don't have a PlayStation 3 and that they haven't come out with Infamous, like, collection for the PlayStation 4 yet.
Did you play Second Son?
I did not play Second Son because I just thought it was an expansion pack.
Yeah, no, that was a totally fresh reboot. But if you ever get the chance to go back and play the first two, just amazing experiences. Way better games than Second Son, in my opinion.
Nice. See, I was when I first saw Infamous, the first trailers when they were first coming out with it, I was like, oh my god, I need this. But unfortunately, I have a wife.
I understand.
And it was like, denied.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, thank goodness my son is really into video games too, or else we wouldn't have the PS4.
Yeah.
But I am looking forward to whatever it is they decide that they're gonna, bring to the table. And what they brought to the table last year. I mean, there are some quality games. The games that they still do have, to bring us in this season, gaming season, which I basically count right up until Christmas.
Sure.
I mean, there's still a lot. Like you said, everybody's gone to the Rapture. There are still a bunch of games that I still want to play that I just don't have the time and haven't had the time. Games like Citizens of Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to play that game. Batman Arkham Knight, as you said, I mean, that's going to be a huge hit, especially if it follows in the footsteps of the first couple. I believe there were two others.
Yeah, there was three, but the third one was made by a different developer, so it was not up to par.
Yeah, it kind of will end up fitting outside of the mentioned ones.
Yeah.
Just like the Superman, the movie 4.
Oh, that's a good analogy, yeah. Well, and supposedly, I don't know if this is still going to happen, but they were going to release Batman Arkham Asylum and Batman Arkham City as a PS4 remaster. So I don't know if that's still happening, but that game was noticeably absent. Arkham Origins wasn't involved with that. So I think they kind of want, that's just like the weird cousin you hide in the basement at Christmas. They just want him to go away.
Yeah, just please leave.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, it was a fun game, but none of the voice actors were back, and you know, I didn't like it.
Yeah, it makes sense, and typically when you end up with another developer taking, they basically replace everything, including the vision, want to stamp it their own.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that happens too often with products that are already loved for what they are. I can't even think. Like, if you just, one of the things I don't like about developers like Ubisoft is they have Montreal and they have Australia and they have wherever else, England or France or wherever the hell the other one is. And it's like, so in a way, they have their own feel, but they try to stay the same basic thing, but then it feels completely different and it just ends up feeling off.
Yeah.
Which I'm not a fan of that. I understand why they do it, but it's just kind of bizarre. And the one thing, as much as I shit on Call of Duty because I'm just not a fan of their games, the one thing they do right is they branch off, and you've got your Advanced Warfare, and you've got your Black Ops, and you've got the different studios working solely on Black Ops, and one studio is working on Advanced Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they're just different.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what you have to do if you're going to try to run a franchise like that.
And if you compare and contrast the Ubisoft and Call of Duty and their the way they handle their franchises, look at the direction the Assassin's Creed franchise has gone in the last 3 years. And the way Call of Duty goes. Call of Duty still is widely regarded as a good game. It's never going to do anything unique or great, but it's always going to be a consistently fun campaign. People love the multiplayer. I don't play the multiplayer at all, but I do play the campaign every single year. And, you know, it's a good 8 to 9 hour experience that I'm going to enjoy. Assassin's Creed has had some really, really bad games the last couple of years, notably the two that came out last year.
Mm-hmm. And Syndicate is actually looking to turn that around because apparently they've learned from their mistakes.
Did you see Did you see the commercial that the development team released where they were just like, "Yeah, we screwed up," and I completely respect that. That was totally the best PR way to handle that because there was no way they were going to be able to tuck their heads in the sand and be like, "No, that it was fine game. We liked it." No, they knew it was bad. They owned up to it, and I really respect them for that.
Absolutely, and that's what more companies should do. And unfortunately, a lot of times all they'll end up doing is they'll say, well, just wait until next time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's my motivation for allowing you to have it next time?
Yeah, I didn't even bother. Was it Unity? Was the PS4 one? But I did not. This was the first year since the first game that I did not purchase an Assassin's Creed game, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, that's your vote. Your dollars are your votes, and people don't understand that.
Don't stop buying these bad games. I mean, just don't give these guys your money because that's the only way. They don't care. I mean, they to a certain degree, they respect the Metacritic scores, but Ubisoft is not scouring the IGN comment board and being like, Creed Fan 411 hates our game. You know, they don't care about that stuff because Creed Fan 411 bought the game.
Yeah. And when they don't care and you keep buying, the perfect example of that is Madden. I mean, Madden has been basically the same game for how long?
Yep, just update the roster and, you know, we added specular, the sun is more realistic, you know, it's just quit.
Yeah, and people fall for it every single year.
I might be one of those people. I'm not proud of that, but...
I literally waited to buy Madden 15 because I haven't bought one since 2009. And I waited to buy it until it was like half off in the PlayStation store.
Nice.
And that's the only reason I bought it.
This last one just frustrated me to the point where I'm just like, nah, and with all the Adrian Peterson stuff, I've kind of fallen out of love with football anyway, so I'm just like, nah, this year might be the year I actually follow through on my threat, and I am not going to buy it.
Yeah, I'm just tired of it. They need to do more, and that's part of the exclusivity deals. They can be good, and they can be terrible, and EA having exclusive rights over the NFL is one of those examples that it's not good.
And I really, really hope the same thing doesn't happen to the Star Wars franchise, since they've got their hands on that. I've got good faith in the Visceral game, because Amy Henning, the former Uncharted writer, is heading that up. So I do have faith in that, but yeah, I wasn't too happy when I saw EA got the exclusive rights to Star Wars.
Yeah. It is. It's daunting, and who knows? We'll see what happens. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take a little short break. When we come back, we'll actually take a little bit more in-depth look at Sony's E3 future. Maybe come out with some ideas that we'd like to see, some ideas that maybe we wish they would listen to us and make them happen. But we'll do that right after the break here. You're listening to Tune the Game Time right here on the Trending Topics Network. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Toons Game Time, the E3 Sony Edition preview, right here on the Trending Topics Network. I am joined once again by Ryan, who is the host of Jack's podcast, but not Toons Jack's podcast. What is the name of your podcast again?
Johnny Good Times Fun Factory with Andrew Woomer.
Oh, okay. See, that is like, woo.
It's hard to remember. We've only actually recorded three episodes, so, I mean, we're not exactly a heavy hitter yet.
I love it, though. You'll have to give me the links, and I can include that on toonshow.com.
I will definitely do that.
Where everybody can find, like, all the episodes of Toons and Toons Game Time, as well as links to all our favorite things on the internets. But either way, in the last segment, we actually discussed some of the past year as it pertains to Sony, including E3 2014. Now we're going to take a look at the E3 conference this year, 2015, for Sony. If you're interested in following along, get the coffee ready, because it'll be on June 15th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Unfortunately, I will have to go to work in the very middle of this. I would use vacation time, but unfortunately, my employer makes me take all my vacation time when they damn well please, which kind of sucks. But so if you're in the UK, you're going to have to wait probably until the morning to catch what happened at E3. But definitely, once you do take part in that and you watch it, let us know. Send us an email, toonshow@gmail.com. Let us know what you think, and we'll cover that in the post-E3 Toons Game Time right here at toonshow.com and trendingtopicsnetwork.com. Now, Ryan, I've got a number of topics here in the show notes that I thought maybe you would like to dive into. First off, I'd like to kind of take a look at VR, because I have a feeling that we're going to see a lot of VR stuff with Project Morpheus. The question is, how prevalent do you think that they're going to make it? Is it going to be more focused on the PlayStation 4 games, or are we going to see something where they really try to push the Morpheus hardware and kind of a new generation within a new generation of video gaming?
I think they really have no choice but to go software on it, just because of the, how, like we discussed last segment, how difficult it is to do a VR hardware demonstration on stage. And I still think that Sony is committed to, I mean, that kind of goes along with their whole theme of, we're about games. So here are a bunch of games that you can play. These games are going to look awesome in VR. Play these games in virtual reality, but you're going to have to buy this thing. I think that's the right way to play it, and I would be shocked if Sony doesn't play it that way.
Yeah. And I honestly, I tend to believe that what we're going to see is they will focus mostly on games, but I could picture them doing an hour and 20 minutes on the software that's coming out, on some of the games, on some of the Sony exclusive stuff. Before kind of dimming the lights, and then you see, like, everybody in the audience don their 3D glasses and doing a 3D presentation, which would essentially be what the VR is offering you, and kind of going that route. But I don't think it'll play well at home.
Yeah.
I think it'll work great in theaters, on stage at the conference, but I just can't see it being very, very viable for those of us at home who are watching to really get into it.
Yeah, I agree, and every year I put it on and watch it as it goes live, and if that happened, I'd just be like, how long is this going to last, because I can't participate in it.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be an instant click. You just turn that thing off.
And that's the last thing any of these guys wants is an instant click turn off, so.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, I mean, what they might end up doing, and I hate to, I mean, obviously, this whole point of the show is to speculate, so I can't even say I hate to speculate. But I would think, with the way you've got Microsoft is doing a whole bunch of Xbox Live shows throughout the week, I would be hard-pressed not to think, given the success of various strategies like that. I mean, you got Nintendo with Nintendo Direct. Oh, why wouldn't Sony actually do their own shows and maybe do something that would be more friendly for an at-home audience as sort of a separate thing. Because I'm sure they're going to have all kinds of booths at the thing. Project Morpheus is going to be that cloud that's just hanging overhead mm-hmm. that everybody's going to know about, but nobody can really reach out and touch outside of that conference. But I could also see, like, an entire, basically, row of the Morpheus headsets just sitting there, and then we'll read about it on Polygon and Kotaku and nearly every video gaming site, every video game journalist will have their hands on it, and we'll just end up hearing nonstop about it after the fact.
Well, they definitely have to have some kiosks set up there and get these. This is the 1 year. I mean, as much hype as we've heard about VR and Project Morpheus, and especially with Oculus Rift, I don't know how close to completion that is, but that's coming up soon. This is the 1 year, I think, that Sony can really make this work and get this into everybody's home, because if they delay on this and they don't have it set up so people can't get their hands on it, this could be the next PlayStation Move or Xbox Kinect. Just one of those things that, okay, it was cool for 5 minutes, and then it's just not for me. So they need to strike while the iron is hot.
I'm with you. I hate 3D movies. I cannot do them. And so the VR, I just have this strong feeling that it's not for me either. As far as that goes, I mean, I think you could see, obviously the Oculus Rift will be coming out before Project Morpheus. And you could actually see Sony doing it again, letting somebody else out there to experiment and then fixing all the things that the people complain about.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the whole strategy here, too. So
yeah, and it's new technology. And, I mean, they don't want to see a virtual boy.
Oh, God, the virtual boy. Wow.
Before you see him selling for $25 at Kmart.
Yeah, when Project Morpheus, that's the first thing that came on. I'm like, didn't anybody learn their lesson in the 80s? Although that might have been the 90s, I can't remember, but I just remember it was terrible.
Yeah, it was in the 90s, and now I want one just so I can have one, and I would never use it. It would just sit there. But
you said something interesting a couple of minutes ago, though. You said that you don't like 3D movies. Is it just because of the glasses, or?
No, it's just the experience. I always feel like it's just way too busy. I don't feel like watching a movie should be work. And I think that it makes my brain work too hard, if that makes sense.
No, I do tend to agree. The only reason I asked is because in reference to the VR stuff, I actually sometimes get very nauseous when I'm playing a really fast first-person shooter, like a Call of Duty or a Battlefield. So I'm wondering if the Project Morpheus is going to be a problem for me as well.
Yeah, we actually had a story on Game Time. When I had Ryan Noble on, they actually have addressed this issue. One of the systems has. And the way they addressed it is they put a nose projection to where some of the reason why you actually have that feeling in those types of environment is because you lose focus on your nose.
Interesting.
And your nose has everything to do with your depth perception, but it's one of those things that we just kind of filter out. But in those environments where everything is just pulling so hard on your attention, you totally lose sight of your nose.
It's interesting.
It's really weird. Like, there was a whole scientific study. I'll try to get you the link.
Yeah, I'd be interested in reading that.
That article.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because, like I said, in a Call of Duty, something that's fast and there's your shifting around your vision cone quite a bit, but then in something in first person like Alien Isolation, which is much, much slower, and there's minutes of hiding and peeking around corners, no problems with that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm kind of the same way. It just ends up so busy. I think the only two movies that I've seen in 3D, because I just immediately knew that nope, not for me, I saw Avatar. When it came out.
Which you almost had to see in 3D, or else there was no point in seeing Avatar.
Yeah. And then the other one was Transformers 4. And I was like, no, never again. I'm not watching any more 3D movies. So, yeah. But either way, let's move on from VR here, because we have some suspected game announcements. I actually got this list from IGN.com. This is a list of games that they actually believe will be announced. Starting with the remaster of God of War 3. Again, we see Remastered popping its head up into this generation.
Yes.
Are Remastered games actually holding up the advancement of games on these systems? Do you think studios are actually putting a little too much focus on the Remastered games?
I kind of do, because it's an easy buck. All you got to do is port it over. The story's already written. The graphic elements are already made. It's got to cost a fraction of the money to produce a remastered game than it does to produce a new game. You mm-hmm. don't have to really market it, because you can just say, hey, did you love playing God of War 3 on PS3? Well, now it looks even better. Kratos looks even angrier. Zeus is even more bloody. And you can also say to people that have a PS4, that just have a PS4, like you, Brian, who didn't have access to the PS3, you can say, hey, you've heard of God of War 3. All your friends told you how awesome it was and this and that. Now you get to play it. And we're seeing that with Uncharted as well. And, yeah, I totally think that's what's going on.
Yeah. It's kind of a disturbing trend to me. I'm not really a fan. Sometimes I just like to say, you know what? I missed that one because I didn't play Panzer Dragoon on the Dreamcast. I just didn't. And so sometimes I think it's best that way. But either way, next game on the list. Oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, I'm glad they exist. I'd rather have them not exist than not exist. I played The Last of Us again. I played that twice. I'm gonna play God of War 3 again. I'm gonna play Uncharted again because I love those games. But I mean, it's just an easy way to collect more trophies and to re-experience it. And I don't know, is this Ultra HD? Because they were HD before, but yeah.
Yeah. It is neat, and I am on the fence with a lot of them, because, like, The Last of Us, I wouldn't have been able to play it.
Yeah.
So there is that benefit. The next one, the number one and number three selling franchise or games on the PlayStation 1 will continue the franchise in Gran Turismo 7. I think that game will always sell, just simply because of the sheer amount of detail and how popular that racing franchise actually is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's any question. Hellblade, Ratchet and Clank, they're going to end up coming back to the PlayStation 4. Until Dawn, Tearaway Unfolded, Drawn to Death, Rime, and The Witness. Any of those games after God of War 3 you think you're going to be pretty interested in?
I always play Gran Turismo. You know, the last couple of games have been, which is 5 and 6, were kind of meh. You know, it was just more of the same. But there's always going to be that nostalgia thing. You know, when I think of a Gran Turismo game, I think of being in college and drinking beer and staying up all late, eating Doritos, racing cars around tracks, thousands of cars available to you. And just so I don't know if it's more just the memory of that, but you know, I'm always going to play it. I'm excited for it. I hope they kind of take some more chances, because 6 was pretty tame, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the ones that I actually saw, the Ratchet and Clank one, I think will be fun simply because I have kids mm-hmm. who play as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with that, how it looks. And other than that, I'm just not terribly excited about either of those titles.
There's a bunch on here I've never even heard of, like Tearaway, obviously I've heard of that, but Rime, okay, Hellblade, I'm aware of it. I'm not entirely sure what it is, but yeah, that list is pretty sparse in my opinion.
Yeah, they're going to have to really come up with something eye-catching
mm-hmm.
to get me excited.
Yeah, and I think they will. I mean, if they're going to show God of War 3 remastered, which they almost have to if it's going to happen, which it is, there's a mm-hmm. perfect opportunity at the end of that. Maybe close your show with that, and mm-hmm. then as the lights fade, God of War 4 logo.
Oh, yeah.
It would be a great transition. The crowd would go absolutely nuts. It would be, no matter how tame your conference has been up to that point, that is going out with a knockout punch.
Yeah, and they wouldn't even have to put God of War up. They could just show the God of War 3 remastered footage, And then at the end, is it dimmed out? Then just put the Roman numeral 4.
Yeah, I'm actually getting goosebumps just thinking about it as we're describing it. And I know a lot of people don't like God of War. Kratos is a pretty generic character. But outside of Ascension, I have never had a bad time playing a God of War game.
Yeah. I've never played it, and I've Ryan Noble and I have conversations all the time about how awesome Kratos is. And I'm just like, I don't know anything about him.
It's fantastic. And and that's like, people like you, I want to see you guys experience that. That's why, like, kind of circling our wagons back around here, that's why I do like the Uncharted collection. Guys like you that are just getting involved deserve to have an opportunity to play these great games. I don't want to see anybody robbed of that experience just because you're a little bit late to the game.
Yeah. Well, here's a question, because you played Uncharted. They say that they're going to come out with the collection with 1, 2, and 3, I believe, in it.
Mm-hmm.
Uncharted 1 and 2 have multiplayer removed or disabled. Is that going to make a big difference in that series?
I never once touched the multiplayer in it. For me, it's a single-player, story-driven, character-centric story is what it is. It's just tight, nice, tight gameplay. It's basically... I remember one of the Uncharted games came out at the same time as the last Indiana Jones movie, and I was thinking, as bad as the Indiana Jones movie is, I'm just going to pretend like Nathan Drake in Uncharted is my Indiana Jones. I'm going to forget Crystal Skull exists, and I'm just going to pretend like this, because that's the kind of, it's like a globe-trotting, just an adventure with puzzles, great villains. It's just so much fun, and I'm really excited to play it. This will be the fourth time I've beaten 1 and 2, and the third time I've beaten 3, assuming I beat it again.
Nice. Well, let's actually transition that, because you bring up movies and how bad Indiana Jones was, and it was.
Oh, terrible.
One of the things that was recently announced is Powers has been renewed by Sony. Have you watched Powers?
No, I'm not even aware of what it is.
It's on PlayStation Plus. Like, if you have a PlayStation Plus subscription, you can watch it, sort of Netflix style.
Okay.
It's basically a superhero series where somebody who lost their superhero powers is now a cop, and you've got the whole kind of, there are normal people, and they're super, it's really good, you should watch
it. Yeah, I'm looking it up right now, it's got, looks like it's got really good ratings.
Yeah, it's really kind of interesting. For a first season, I think they did quite well. They renewed it, so there will be a second season. They've also announced that there will be a Last of Us movie, as well as a Ratchet and Clank movie. And that was kind of where it was going to go. Is how much should they push this? Is it a mistake to do these things? And how terrible could these things actually be?
It's a mistake. Video games and movie crossovers do not work. Stop trying to make them work. I guarantee you they will find... The Last of Us, the story is fine the way it is. I just don't ruin it for me by making a bad movie about it.
Yeah. And it is. I mean, it has the potential. I mean, The Last of Us has such a good story. And you know that they're going to end up doing something. They're not going to be able to include something because the game itself is how many hours long?
God, probably 15, 16 hours at least, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, easily. And you're going to end up in that thing. How are you going to condense it? Not only condense it into the hour and a half, but then also be able to cast it properly and to... have writers good enough to actually where you get that character development that is so good. Because, I mean, I could easily picture the first 45 minutes being the first couple of hours, and you still haven't even touched the surface of what's going on.
Well, and I'm going to do my best not to spoil the story here, but I think the reason that The Last of Us works so well is that you are controlling... the guy that is doing all these actions. I think that's why it's such an emotional punch, and you're an active participant. When you're a movie, you're a passive participant. You're just watching it. I just don't think it's going to have that connection.
Yes, I 100% agree with you, and I have that argument with my wife all the time.
Yeah, it's a completely different experience.
Yeah. And it's books, but it's interactive, mm-hmm. and it's movies, and it's interactive. And I completely agree with you. I think it'll be a big mistake if they put any focus into these things, because I don't like the fact that they're making, like, I understand why they would make Ratchet and Clank, because kids like movies, and mm-hmm. kids like movies involving properties that they already know. Mm-hmm. So I think that's smart, but The Last of Us, I think they should just leave it alone.
Yeah, anything with, like a mature theme, like The Last of Us, or I know a couple years ago an Uncharted movie was being discussed, and that was just completely nuts. It was, like, going to star Marky Mark, and he was... and Nathan Drake now has a family, and he goes on treasure hunting, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? It's not going to be a good movie, and it's going to taint the video game franchise. But, like, something like you said with Ratchet & Clank, it could be cartoony and fun, and you could have some game tie-ins and mobile game tie-ins. I mean, it's just got... There's a lot they could do with that, but don't try and do serious. That's just a mistake. It doesn't work. Look at the Resident Evil movies.
Yes. Yes, and they made those a comedy, which I actually, guilty pleasure, like the Resident Evil movies. Mm. I'm not a huge super fan of them, but I think they're fun to pass the time. But no, I completely get what you're saying and agree with you. The serious thing, it's just when you're dealing with video games... like, the comic book movies work because they don't take themselves entirely seriously. Like, everybody goes into it understanding that superpowers aren't real.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas something like The Last of Us, I mean, you're talking about a situation that you're trying to pass off as legitimately real.
Mm.
So I'm with you there.
So, kind of building on that, how do you feel about a Last of Us sequel?
I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I kind of don't want to world again. I thought it ended perfectly, and I like the ambiguous nature of it.
Yeah. And the only thing, like I said in the last show, I mean, you end up with like a Gears of War thing. The only thing I could picture them doing, I don't think having it as a direct Last of Us sequel would be a good thing. But I could see where you would tie it in with another game in a different area of the world with completely different circumstances. But I can't find myself supporting that notion.
Yeah, I don't ever want to ever know anything more about Joel or Ellie again. I'm fine with, I just kind of like to let my imagination fly, and I don't want any more of their story spelled out for me.
Yeah, I completely agree. Now, one of the things we had a conversation, and I would love to touch on it again, because we talked about this on Twitter for a good while. And I'll just fold that into the next section, which would be what would we like to see from Sony at the conference. And I'm going to start it off with, I would love to see, they've already announced Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 is coming out. And we talked about this ad nauseum on Twitter.
Such a great game.
Yeah, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, a collection where they build up a tournament on PlayStation, and in reality, they could do it on Microsoft, too. But I would just love to see them come out with something online, and clearly that's not a Sony thing specifically. That would be, what, Activision?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Activision came out with it, and Neversoft was the original developer of the game. But whoever the publisher and developer is of the new one, which is slipping my mind right now, I totally would love to see them introduce that. A trophy-driven single-player, a tournament-style, maybe ranking system, multiplayer, online kind of situation with the Tony Hawk series would just be incredible. If we saw that at E3, I would be able to say that I was a very happy camper. What are some of the things that you would like to see from Sony or otherwise come out of this E3 conference?
Well, we touched on, obviously, Uncharted. I'd like to see a little bit more of Uncharted 4, but that's a guarantee that we're going to see. I don't want to know anything more about the story. I kind of want to go in just completely blind, but if they want to showcase some multiplayer or something, I just kind of want to see the status of that. But one thing that I'm really, really crossing my fingers for here is, and I brought this up a little while ago, I really want to see Sony show up and show off that new Star Wars game. Not the Battlefront, but the one that Visceral Studios is working on, the one that's story-driven. I think that would absolutely bring the house down in a year where we're getting a new Star Wars movie. We had a huge Star Wars celebration a couple of months ago. I think that could just absolutely bring the house down if they did that. And I really hope, I think that would be such a great move, and I hope Microsoft doesn't steal that.
As a Star Wars nerd, 100% cosign, I agree with you. I would get so hype over that, it'd be ridiculous. My wife would be very upset with me. because I would get, like, all the DLC for it, everything.
Yeah, you'd have to. I mean, it's and I think if either one of the main console manufacturers can get that, I guess we shouldn't write off Nintendo, but that obviously that's never going to happen. But one of those two could get, like, an exclusive, bring out Amy Henning and her team and just be like, hey, here's our Boba Fett story, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's no multiplayer. It's just all single-player campaign. It's just got this and this and this and this, and this is the Star Wars game that is going to make you forget Force Unleashed 2. It's just going to be amazing. That's what I want to see.
Yes, I'm with you. And the thing is, I kind of wish they would kind of offshoot even Knights of the Old Republic and Knights of the Old Republic 2 for the original Xbox. Was one of my all-time favorite Star Wars games.
Great.
As were the Jedi Academy series. I love those games. Mm-hmm. And given the capabilities of machines now, I think 100% you're right. The studios that were actually making Battlefront, EA, I believe they hired away a writer from a big-time studio, big-time writer. I wish I could remember who she was.
It's Amy Henning, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Yeah, she got I don't know if she was fired or whatever. She was released by Naughty Dog, and then she immediately signed on with them, and because she was the one who originally wrote the Uncharted trilogy. So yes. I mean, she's got some serious chops. You know, she knows what she's doing, and I think just give me a good story set in that world. Make me forget the prequels. Give me a really awesome story set in that Star Wars world where I get to participate in.
Exactly. And there are so many good story arcs with Star Wars. I don't know how into Star Wars you are.
Big time.
But I've read the majority of the books for the expanded universe and everything like that. And there are just so many things. And I don't know what direction fully they're taking Episode 7 and 8 and 9 because I'm avoiding spoilers at all costs because I want to be surprised so bad. But there are so many offshoots, the Mara Jades, the kids after this generation, stories like Outward Bound. Even if you go back into the Lost Tribe, you could go into a whole thing involving the Lost Tribe, which was one of the first timeline books.
Imagine a video game set in the Last Command and Heir to the Empire. I mean, just how awesome that would be.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Just the backdrop. Just put the gameplay aside. Let's say that's mediocre at best. Just imagine the backdrop from a narrative standpoint and the rich characters that Timothy Zahn gave us. It would just be amazing to participate in that.
Yeah, and when they announced that Episode 7 would be 25 years after New Hope, not after New Hope, but after the...
Jedi.
Yeah, after Return of the Jedi. I was like, they skipped over Thrawn.
all that we took as canon is gone, so.
Yeah, I was so upset with that, because I was like, no. Yeah. But, they could do a whole, Heir to the Empire would be a perfect place to start, because there was so much going on at that point. Mm-hmm. Whether it's that, or even the Yuuzhan Vong, which everybody now is like, man, these guys are nerds.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah, I own it. That's all you can do.
Yeah, but I mean that would be pretty incredible to see something like that. I think Sony really needs to knock it out of the park with some exclusives, though. I would love to see them come up with something that is, even if it's not groundbreaking, at least original. That's the one thing that I need to see as a PlayStation owner now, is I need to see something original, something not... that shows that they're not afraid to do something a little bit different. We're going to see Fallout 4. I don't know how much stuff we're going to see of Fallout 4. Probably just that same trailer that we already saw.
Does Bethesda have their own conference?
Yes. Yes, I believe they have their own conference going on. I wish I could remember what the day is. I don't have the schedule in front of me. But I think it's on Monday. As I think it was when that is. But yeah, I mean, I think that we've seen the extent of what we're going to get of Fallout 4.
I agree.
Because the trailer itself was kind of very Fallout 3-ish.
Yeah, what a trailer, though. I had no idea. I thought, honestly, the best we were going to get was, like, maybe the vault opening up or a shot of dog meat. But, my God, they gave us, I think that thing was, like, 5 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it was 4:40-something, I believe.
So awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things, like, you waited for it, because Fallout New Vegas was just so good,
mm-hmm.
And I know it was glitchy as hell, but it is a top five game of mine all time.
Definitely.
It's just so good. And the thing is, it's like, we've waited so long for it, and now we got that little taste, and that little taste has got me so excited, and it was much more excited, because the rumors were there, there were going to be a Fallout 4 announced at some point, because it only made sense.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute you saw it, even though you knew it was coming, it just got the blood pumping.
Yeah, it just looks so good. And even with the bugs and stuff like that, you know, as long as they're not game-breaking, which some of them are, and they will get those ironed out eventually, even the bugs are kind of part of Bethesda's charm. You know, Skyrim had it, both the Fallout games had it. You just kind of accept the fact that every now and then your horse is going to get stuck in a tree.
Yes. Yes, and the games are so big.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't expect that, then I would like you to check into reality.
And I believe Fallout 4 is going to be set in Boston, is that correct?
Yes. Okay. It's somebody actually did the triangulation using some of the landmarks and found out exactly where the vault is or something like that.
We were just talking a couple minutes about us being nerdy, but that takes it to a new level.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. I mean, people have too much time on their hands.
That's a little hardcore.
But either way, what we're going to do, we're going to wrap up this show here. Ryan, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. It's been really fun. I think that we have a lot of the same taste and styles of games and things like that.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely, and you're welcome back anytime. At this point, why don't you unplug your stuff once again, and as I said earlier, I will get all the information for your site and the links to how to get your show and all that fun stuff up on TuneShow as soon as I'm able.
Excellent.
So go ahead and plug your stuff. Let everybody know where they can find you, and your show.
Yeah, you can just search Ryan Hamner or Andrew Woomer on iTunes or the Johnny Good Times Fun Factory, and it should pop up for you. So other than that, check on my Twitter, and it's a link to it's in my bio.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we really appreciate it. In the meantime, I'll take a little break here and then come back to close out the show. And since it's Thursday, I haven't decided whether I'm doing any news or not, so I'll just leave that as a cliffhanger. If you want to know, then you'll just come back after this little break. Ryan Hamner, and you can find him Ham on Rye, but it's Ham0. And just R-Y, right?
You got it.
Okay, not R-Y-E, because then you'll find some sandwich maker.
Exactly.
That's right. Thank you so much. And when we come back, I'll close out the show. You're listening to Toons Game Time right here on the Trending Topics Network.
Out on the bed.
And that was the conversation between Ryan Hamner and myself. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And as promised, I actually have an email response from Mart, who, while he couldn't make the show, actually still did participate, as you can, by simply emailing toonshow@gmail.com. I just threw it out there to get his opinion, because I did want him to get him on the show. It hurt my feelings, honestly, that I wasn't able to get him on the show. But living across the pond with a 4 or 5 hour time difference made it very difficult, given the time that we had to record this on Thursday night. But Mart weighed in with this. Not much I can remember about E3 last year, but hardly any of it would come out by the time they said it would, and they will regurgitate most of their propaganda bullshit. One thing that was announced for the second year in a row was the Order 1886, and although it got a rough time in the media, it was visually stunning, and the storyline and concept was a winner in my book, and well worth a play. Also, I'm pretty sure Uncharted 4 was there and scheduled for this year. Think again, baby puppy dog, another game delay. One thing and one thing only I want from this year's E3. When you giveth me release dates with one hand, please reach around and tickle my balls with the other instead of the usual taketh away with that other hand. Thanks for your input, Mart. Just looking at it, the Order 1886 did actually not get all that great of reviews. What reviews it did get were on the positive side, were the rare for the visuals. Kind of a disappointment. I think that was a victim of the great hype machine that is marketing. Unfortunately, half the time they build up this hype and we never see it actually come to fruition. Uncharted 4, I'm honestly not sure. I'm not sure that they announced it last year, whether or not they did. I'll have to go back and look. I don't have that information on me right offhand. But, yeah, that's one of the problems is they go out there and they have these forced delays. These games, they announce the dates, and then it's one delay after the other, which would be one thing if they'd release them and they weren't buggy, or you didn't have to download 2 gigs of day one patches. But that is, that's kind of one of those things that disappoints us, because we see it and we want it, and then when we're denied it, it kind of sucks. So I totally get your point. Thank you very much for your input, Mart, and while you weren't here and you were missed, your spirit is with us, so we appreciate that. Now, once again, if you would like to be a part of the show, just remember ToonShow, ToonShow.com. You can find all the information how to get a hold of us, including a contact form right there on ToonShow.com if you're lazy, like me sometimes, and don't feel like opening up Gmail and remembering something difficult like ToonShow@gmail.com. Either way, this has been the E3 preview show for 2015. Thanks for coming along. Again, if you did not hear the Microsoft one, simply go to toonshow.com, listen to it there if you're with us on the Trending Topics Network. If you're not on the Trending Topics Network and you're actually listening to this via the website, by all means, look up the Trending Topics Network at trendingtopicsnetwork.com, and you can find all sorts of shows like Old School at the Movies, where they talk about all the movies that are coming out and have come out. They do a lot of retro shows. You can find shows about trending mobile technology, different technology that is coming out in the mobile industry. You can find shows like Cerebral Satire, where they talk about all kinds of pop culture and new stuff. And there's a new show called The Conversation. You've got a whole bunch of different professional wrestling podcasts, the Yes Talk. You've got Spanish Announce Table. You've got, even from a female 30-something perspective from Montreal. Montrealers are kind of weird, kind of crazy. But you get to hear about what it's like to live life from a female perspective in Montreal from mid-30s, bunch of chicks, the three girls from All Wine Aside, so be sure to check that out as well. Lots to be listened to, lots of perspectives to be heard here on the Trending Topics Network. Be sure to check all that out. But until next time, which will actually be the post-E3 show, my name is Brian, and on behalf of PK and Tucker and Mort and Paul and Ryan Hamner, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.